Now, would you stand for the gospel reading this morning? Our gospel reading comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 2. We begin in verse 21. When 8 days had passed, Jesus' parents circumcised him and gave him the name Jesus. This was the name given him by the angel before he was conceived. When the time came for their ritual cleansing in accordance with the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice in keeping with what was stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was a righteous and devout man. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, and he said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It is a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being too." And there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for seven years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God, and our thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we engage with it this morning, that it would speak to us and change us, transform us, to make us to be more like Jesus, that we may be better disciples, better followers. This we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
I made my family disappear.
All right, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to see Home Alone is a classic Christmas comedy from the early 90s. Actually, I think it was from 1990. And in this movie, Kevin McAllister, the young man you just saw running around there, was left at home inadvertently. But what he was talking about just then, where he says, you know, "I made my family disappear." His family is somewhat dysfunctional to him. He's a younger child, older brothers and sisters. They really don't, let's just say they're not exactly nice to Kevin. And so as they're getting ready to go to the airport to go out of town for Christmas, they remember everything but Kevin. In Kevin's mind, however, he has wished that his family would disappear and just go away. He wakes up to realize, or he looks around and realizes that that's exactly what's happened. His family is gone. They've all disappeared. They got up, they went to the airport, and nobody thought to wake him up. And so Kevin is left home alone. You know, it's interesting. I think everyone at some point in their life has had this dream. We've all had this sense of wanting to be alone and wish all the negative people, the negative stuff out of our lives. We've had those moments where we just thought to ourselves, if I just had a few moments just to enjoy, just to get rid of everybody, then this, I could really use that. That would make my life great. There's a great Twilight Zone episode with Burgess Meredith, actually, where Burgess Meredith is looking around at the world, and he sees all this noise and all this cacophony, and he's just so aggravated, irritated with it, and he says basically the same thing Kevin did, except he takes it on a global scale. He says, I wish there was nobody, and I could just sit in peace and read my books. And he gets his wish. Everybody disappears. Burgess Meredith goes and he looks around the town that he lives in, and nobody is there. And he's very happy about that. And he goes and he gets all of his favorite books, which is his favorite pastime, and he piles them all up and he gets them all set up. And he walks over to where he's going to sit down. He picks up his favorite book, turns around, sits down, and breaks his glasses. Because it's the Twilight Zone. They live off of irony. As Bob intimated last week, however, you know, sometimes we get exactly what we want only to find out that we didn't get what we thought we got. Holidays can be difficult for some of us. We're talking about this idea of home alone this morning. Holidays can be difficult because sometimes we feel abandoned. We feel abandoned by the fact that we've lost loved ones, by the fact that we have broken relationships, by difficult circumstances. And we feel like we are home alone and sort of adrift in this big empty house of our existence. We have this sense of feeling persecuted in our house by the world around us, and this sense in which we're kind of just put in position to be sort of taken out of and isolated from the world around us. The question we have to ask ourselves in dealing with this, and not everybody deals with this, but a lot of people deal with this. A lot of people deal with this. I mean, we have a Blue Christmas prayer vigil that we're going to be having on the night of the 20th, a week from today, because there are so many people that do deal with this. So how do we protect ourselves? How do we address these issues, these feelings of abandonment and isolation at a time when the rest of the world is gathering with family and celebrating? For some people, that's pretty difficult. It's pretty hard. This morning, we're gonna use Home Alone as a way of exploring this. The truth of the matter is, when we first sort of realize that we have some time to ourselves, it can be quite liberating. We can feel more like, instead of it being like I'm isolated, I'm alone, it feels like a little bit of a relief, and it feels kind of like me time. You know, which is, Kevin has a little bit of that right here.
I took a shower washing every body part with actual soap, including all my major crevices, including in between my toes and in my belly button, which I never did before but sort of enjoyed. I washed my hair with the Don't Formula shampoo and used cream rinse for that Just Wash shine. I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
Of course, that's one of the most famous scenes in the movie, Kevin finding out that aftershave burns. But you'll notice that what he's doing there, he's sort of having his me time. He's fixing his hair. He's taking a nice long shower. You know, he's had some time to sort of reflect on the world and relax. And, you know, he's thinking to himself, this is nice. I'm enjoying this. I'll just go out later today, pick up a few things from the store, you know, and life will be good. This is happy times for me. The truth is, we all need some of that time. We all need time to recharge. We all need time to sort of hit the reset button and sort of recharge the batteries, if you will. Jesus sets this example for us. If you look in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, Jesus sets this example, and he says, when he sent them away, speaking of the disciples, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came, and he was alone. So there is value in that. There is value in being able to get away and have some time alone. But it can become a problem. Being alone is a good thing, but it can become a problem. I can speak from personal experience. If you've ever taken a Myers-Briggs personality test, how many of you have taken that before? All right, Myers-Briggs personality test. I am an IN. I believe TJ, the last time that I took it. I take it every so often to check it. But there's one thing that's a constant. Regardless of what the last three letters end up being, My first letter is always I. Extreme I. Like I have never scored less than 75% introvert, which means I need lots of this time to recharge. That's how I process. That's how I think. That's just the way I'm wired. And it's a good thing, but it can become a bad thing. It can become a bad thing to spend too much of that time alone. Because what happens is, to begin with, it's liberating and it feels like me time. But then what happens is you start recognizing that you are alone. That time that you spend alone goes from being me time to being lonely time. Because we as human beings, we recognize the desire, the need that we have for companionship, and the need that we have for family. You know, Kevin, at one point in the movie, he's just kind of sitting around in his room with his pajamas on, just kind of staring at the Christmas lights and the Christmas tree, and he's just completely isolated, just by himself there, and he recognizes that his family isn't around. And Kevin, now this isn't the same image, but Kevin is really recognizing within himself that there's something to be had for having other people around. We need to know that we're important to someone and that they are important to us. Look at the story of Adam and Eve. Adam is in the garden, he's naming animals, everything is cool, everything is great. Then Adam recognizes something. He recognizes that everybody else has somebody but him. All the other animals have other animals except for him. And it creates this sense of loneliness. It creates this sense of longing. It creates this recognition that something is missing, and that something that's missing is a sense of community. It's a sense of connection to others who are like us. And as Adam recognizes this within himself, God says, yes, you're absolutely right. Puts Adam in a deep sleep and creates woman. We have the first family. We have the first couple. We have the first community. Because now they are alike together. So we need this. We recognize this as part of who we are, that we need these other people in our lives. Because if we don't have them, there's something missing, and we know that there's something missing. And what happens when we don't recognize this or when we don't act on this is that our isolation leads us to feelings of abandonment. Because we have this recognition of the need to be a part of community and a recognition to be a part of a greater relational unit. When that's gone, we start to sense this abandonment. We start to recognize that there's this definite thing that's missing. And without it, we cannot be whole. And this abandonment that comes with that, this sense of feeling like that everything and everybody is gone, is that next and final step in that. We've gone from me time to loneliness to abandonment as a result of being without others. And that abandonment is hard. That abandonment is painful, because at this point, you're dealing with the most acutely painful expression of this that you can deal with. Because at this point, it's not just that you're alone and you're lonely. It's that you're alone and everybody else has fled. Everybody else is gone. And they're not coming back. And the one thing you want more than anything is for them to come back. Kevin feels this. For a little while, it's okay. It's fun. Then he starts to feel lonely. And then eventually Kevin realizes that he really does need his family. Let's watch.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, if you make it quick. Santa's got a little get-together he's late for.
Okay. I know you're not the real Santa Claus.
What makes you say that? Just out of curiosity.
I'm old enough to know how it works.
All right.
But I also know that you work for him. I'd like you to give him a message.
Shoot.
I'm Kevin McAllister, 671 Lincoln Boulevard. Do you need the phone number?
That's right.
Okay, this is extremely important. Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. No toys, nothing but Peter, Kate, Buzz, Megan, Linny, and Jeff. And my aunt and my cousins. And if he has time, my Uncle Frank. Okay?
Okay. See what I can do.
You know, it's here that Kevin realizes that without his family, he has nothing to connect to. He has nothing no one to engage with. He even misses his brother Buzz, the brother that picks on him, the brother that's constantly giving him grief. He knows deep within himself that there's this pain of loneliness that can only be rectified with the presence of others. What happens when we start to feel this isolation and abandonment, it begins to affect us. And how it affects us is that it creates feelings of disconnect from yourself and from society. You start to recognize that you as an individual, there may be something wrong with you. You start thinking, there may be something wrong with me. And you start sort of disconnecting even within yourself. You start arguing with yourself and saying, well, something's wrong with me. I don't know what it is. I need to fix me. And you recognize that other people may feel that. And so you start separating yourself and distancing yourself. And then you start having these feelings of negative worth and negative value. You begin to doubt yourself and begin to think of yourself as less than. And then that isolation and that lack of community really gets to set in because you really don't feel like you're worthy of community. You really don't feel like you should be around anybody. I speak from experience when I say this. I had an experience when I was about 14 years old where I went through some depression. Maybe your teenage depression, maybe a little worse than that. I ended up spending a Christmas at home alone because I did not want to be with my family. I didn't want to be with anybody. And it felt okay for about 2 hours. And then after that, I found myself just sitting there wishing that my family would come back. Somebody would come back. Anybody would come back. Because in spite of the fact that I felt horrible that year and that I felt bad about lots of things that were going on, I didn't realize that what I needed was to be with those people that I love the most. So how do we combat this sense of abandonment, isolation, this blue Christmas feeling that we get? Well, first, we need to recognize that we need community. We need it. It's a deep-seated need. It's how we're created. Paul Tillich, the theologian, refers to this concept as being alone together. Because we recognize that as individuals, we are somewhat alone. Within ourselves, we have body and soul. The soul within us is separated from the souls around us. So in that sense, we are isolated from other people. We are uniquely individual. That's where loneliness comes from, is the recognition of that. That's how somebody can say, I'm alone in a crowd. But we also recognize the need for being connected to one another. Being alive means being in a body, and a body separated from all other bodies. Being separated is being alone. But alone and isolated are not the same thing. To be alone is to be to oneself. To be isolated is to be without community or be without the hope of community. One of the things that, one of my other favorite movies, and we'll try not to throw too many of these in here. Actually, this is the only other one. But one of my other favorite movies is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And during this trilogy, there's a scene here where Frodo realizes that, you know, hey, I've got to do something to get away from these people. I'm putting everybody in danger. So he decides to leave. And this is one of my favorite lines in the movie. As Frodo is paddling away, he tells Sam to go back. He's going on alone. And Sam says, I know you're going alone, and I'm going with you. The truth of the matter is we are alone together. We are within ourselves, separate beings, but we are a community. And we need to recognize that need for community. When Jesus was introduced to the temple, that's what was happening. He's being introduced into a community. He's being introduced into a group of people who were of the same religion, who were of the same belief system, who were of the same culture. He's being introduced and accepted into the community as part of that community. Now, the second thing that we need to recognize Once we recognize our need for community, is we need to be refuse to be trapped in this isolation cycle. There's a cycle where we sort of feel ourselves being alone, we withdraw, and then when we withdraw, we're kind of stuck there. And we might try to go back and be around other people, but if we don't deal with the root cause, what happens is we go back to the other people, and then we feel lonely and withdraw again. So we get in this loop, and we don't get out of it. The first thing that we need to do is we need to begin by starting with God. When we realize that we're trapped, we realize that we're isolated, we need to seek community, and we need to start with God. People can find this difficult because of the way that we view God and because of the way that we relate to God and some of the circumstances that we've lived through. But consider what Paul had to say at the end of the 2 Timothy passage that we read. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so the entire message would be preached through me and so all the nations could hear it. I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil action and will save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever and ever and always. Amen. The truth is, it's not God that has failed us. It's our perception of God that's failed us. It's our understanding of who God is that tends to fail us. It's not God that's failing us. So when we deal with this problem, the issue is not an issue of us needing to, of God needing to fix something about God. It's us needing to fix our understanding of who he is. And the second thing that we need to do is not only seek out God, but we need to seek out people of peace in our life. People of peace are those people who are open to you, who are interested in you, who like you, and who want to be around you. We need to find and engage and commune with these people who really get and understand us and create community from that. And the other thing that we need to do, beyond engaging God, beyond engaging people of peace, is we need to make amends for broken relationships. We need to follow Jesus' example in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, you've heard it said that those who live long ago don't commit murder, and all who commit murder will be in danger of judgment. But I say that everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. And notice that. Jesus sort of reinterprets this idea of what it means to kill another person. Reinterprets it to say to be angry, to disconnect yourself from this other person. If they say to their brother or sister, you idiot, they'll be in danger of being condemned by the governing council. And if they say, you fool, they'll be in danger of fiery hell. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make things right with your brother and sister, and then come back. When we look at this and we think about this, this movie is about reconciliation. It's about reconnecting yourself to the people that mean the most to you. For us as Christians, reconnecting ourselves in community is reconnecting ourselves to God, to people of peace, and to those with whom we have broken relationships and are in need of fixing. One of my favorite scenes in this movie is toward the end. It's a scene where Kevin is sitting down with old man Marley, whom everybody is afraid of, and the two of them have an interesting discussion about this topic. Let's watch.
Want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
I came to hear my granddaughter sing, and I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
Well, he's grown up. We lost our tempers, and I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same, and we haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Yeah, basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
The very end of the movie, old man Marley does call his son. We don't know what the conversation goes like. We don't see or hear what happens, but this is what we see. Kevin looks out the window. Marley shakes hands with his son. And the granddaughter that he desperately wanted to see comes up and gives him a hug. That's really the heart of this movie. That's really the heart of what's going on here, is this idea of reconciliation, of reconnecting to the community that you belong to, of reconnecting to your tribe, to borrow a word from the modern vernacular is being used now. So Marley's reconnected with his tribe. The question for us is this: what does it take to get past those feelings of isolation, those feelings of loneliness, those feelings of disconnect, to reconnect to God, to reconnect to the people of peace in our lives, and to reconnect to those who have broken relationships with us? That is what Jesus came to do. That is the point of the child in the manger. The child in the manger grows to be the man who reconciles God to the world and neighbor to neighbor. That is the story. That is what it's about. And that's what Home Alone is about at heart. It's a movie of reconciliation. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we reconciled to God? Are we reconciled to neighbor? Can we get past wanting to live in this isolation and loneliness that separates us? Get back to community where we're connected with those whom we need to be connected to.